Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las...
Podcast.
From the DeFont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota metropolitan area, and westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 150 of the Por favor, manténganse alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Sarasota, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in westerly. Mr. Klinsman.
Sunny westerly today.
Sunny westerly. I saw something on Facebook that said it was 51, and you said you'll take that.
In January, you're damn straight I'll take that.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I'm sure when you were living up in Minnesota, if you got a 50-degree day in January, you were probably wearing shorts.
I wasn't, because that was still chilly, but yeah, the Rubes were in shorts and riding their bikes and rollerblading. Yep, you're exactly right.
It's like a vacation. It's like a little miracle in the middle of the winter.
You love that, don't you?
It's a nice little break. It's supposed to be warm the rest of this week, a little chilly over the weekend, and then be warm again next week. So, Looks like a mild couple weeks.
Yeah, you keep looking at the extended. You're saying once we get into February, yeah, we're going to get some snow, but the sun's going to get a little higher. It's going to get a little warmer. We're going to coast into March Madness, and home free, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much where I am right now.
Yeah. You always kind of check the extended for snow days.
Yep. We had a big one over the weekend on Saturday.
Yep, that looked like fun.
You were tracking that. It wasn't too bad because it was a Saturday and it was light. It was a really light, fluffy stuff, so it was easy to shovel. They didn't do a great job plowing, but by yesterday it was pretty much all gone off the streets. And today it just wiped it out, yeah. So not too bad. I mean, it's inevitable. We're going to get some snow.
Yeah, you can't dodge it all the time.
So if it comes on a weekend, I'm not too upset because I can... You don't have to go out on the roads, and then you have take your time and clearing it out and everything. So what's new with you, Michael?
I'm still getting over that national championship.
Oh, what a great game that was.
How insane was that?
It was fantastic. Just a well-played college football game.
And I was on tape delay because I worked, and I worked late on Monday. So my buddy Nate, who's now in Omaha, he's from Minnesota, he'll text me once in a while, just say, "What are you watching?"
Right.
So he texts me Monday. He said, "What are you watching?" And I'm like, "Keep your mouth shut. I'm like an hour and 40 minutes behind you." He's like, "Oh, okay." So I made sure all the social media was shut off. But
yeah, well, you said that to me because we were messaging a little bit, and you told me, you made sure to tell me right away that you were on tape delay. So I didn't say anything. I didn't ruin anything for you.
But I mean, when Alabama jumped out in front, I said, "Oh, man, this is going to be an early night."
Well, that's what I thought. 14-0.
And
I thought maybe they
wouldn't have to score very little in order to win the game. But
second half was a different story.
Oh, man. And they were moving it at will, it seemed like, in the second half.
Oh, yeah. The offensive line was giving him time, and he was just ripping apart that secondary. Watson, he impressed me. He looked good in that game.
He looked good. And from what I understand, I was listening to... Melnick and Melnick in the morning when I was at work. I put my little earbuds in when we were setting up the shotgun in the range. And
yeah,
they were saying Mel Kiper Jr. was saying he's like only like the third best quarterback in the draft this year.
Yeah, he wasn't... I don't know, his arm didn't impress me.
Yeah, he made some poor throws. I think there were some guys that were open and he missed a few good throws, but he made some nice throws too.
He had some nice throws, but he didn't have like that zip. All his throws seemed to float a little bit.
Yeah, they did. They were floaters.
He kind of had that Tebow... kind of arm.
Yeah.
Like he's that kind of guy, I think. Where he's like a winner. He's really, really good in college. He can throw. He can put up a lot of points. But I don't know if it translates over to the NFL.
That's true.
I hope it does, because if he can be successful in the NFL, he'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But he reminds, like, just that throwing motion. I mean, obviously Tebow is lefty, but just the way the ball floated a little reminded me a lot of Tebow when he was throwing. Which isn't a bad comparison, considering how they won national championships and their style of play was very similar, because Tebow, he wasn't like a scrambling quarterback.
No, he just ran at you.
But he would run, and he was also very capable of beating you through the air.
Right.
He just couldn't do that in the pros, because everything just gets ratcheted up to 11 in the pros. Everyone's just that much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And those extra half a second that the ball's floating in the air just prevented him from ever really becoming a success in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm wrong. I don't know. I'm not a talent scout. Mel Kiper would know better than me.
Mel Kiper.
I would have
that,
to say.
That name makes me laugh.
Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yeah, he's just so nerdy, too.
He is very nerdy.
Like John Clayton?
Yeah.
You know, they're just two complete toolboxes, don't you think? That commercial where he's eating Chinese food in his mom's basement.
Yeah.
And he has to put the, and he like puts like the shirt and tie on, which is not really a shirt and tie, just to do his piece with ESPN. Then he goes back to blasting like
the heavy metal.
Isn't that a great, that's a great commercial. But that's totally how I picture John Clayton.
Right, exactly.
Sitting in his mom's basement, just studying film, reading stuff. Mel Kiper, Melnick.
I was waiting for you to bring up the championship game to give me my credit.
Oh, I don't know if I was going to give you any. What's this pat on the back nonsense right now, Bill?
Well, we made our picks, and I said Clemson, and you said no chance. They got no chance.
I don't think I was the only one.
No, you were not the only one. Clemson was a... They became a popular pick, though. A lot of people picked them. I saw, like, the ESPN guys, 2 out of 3, right before the game picked them. I know where they got Desmond Howard and... Who was the other guy that was picking? I don't even remember. But Lee Corso picked Alabama, but the other two guys picked Clemson right before the game. But who knows? I mean, I just had a feeling that it was going to be a close game, and I wanted to root for Clemson, so that's why I picked them. I didn't really know.
You didn't take out a second mortgage on the house?
No, I didn't put any money down. I didn't call my local wise guy and put some money on the game. I thought it was over when it was 14-0, like you said. I just expected it to be like one of those 28-6 final score at that point. But give Clemson a lot of credit. They stuck around and they made it close and they were able to take the lead in the fourth quarter.
Now, do you like Nick Saban?
I don't have a problem with him.
I don't either. I actually like him and everybody rips him. I mean, he's a football coach. Not many of them have personalities, but he always seems to give the other teams credit, whereas Belichick's always just a jerk.
Well, I don't have a problem with Belichick either.
Yeah, I don't like Belichick.
It's the fans I don't like.
Yeah, listening to his press conferences. In both aspects.
That's just a shtick now at this point. It's like almost like it's... Belichick doesn't give the answers, and Saban doesn't as much either. A lot of people don't like Saban for how he left the Dolphins, though. Kind of like came in 1 year and then left.
Yeah.
But...
Alabama doesn't call that often either, though.
No, that's true.
What are the divisional playoffs, Dad? I don't know. We're Patriots fans.
Yeah.
This is Eric.
That's kind of how SEC and Alabama fans are, though, too.
Yeah, you were saying that. Well, the SEC is the dominant conference.
Yeah, this year they were really dominant.
I mean, you look at rings, though. I mean, they won again last year. What did they win? Like 7 of 9 or something? 7 of 8.
That's fine.
You can have down years, but...
Only won 33% since the playoffs started, though. I know that.
Oh, that's all right. I mean, you don't like the SEC. Nobody likes the winners.
That's true. Speaking of winners, I do have to make a correction from last week when I called out the Bryant coach, and I thought he took another job in lacrosse, and he's still at Bryant, so I was wrong about that.
Yeah, you know, I talk about how he talks about how loyal he's going to be and how he's going to stay because Makeley took a shot on him, and right away you got to destroy my credibility and say, no, you're wrong, you idiot, he left for Syracuse.
Well, I didn't say it like that. I said, I kind of laughed and said, I thought I heard he took another job, and you said, oh, maybe like a Syracuse or something. I said, actually, I thought it was a big power, but maybe he got offered, and that was where I heard it. Like, they offered him the job, and then what you said happened.
Yeah, that's the problem with this show, too, is that you're constantly trying to decrease my credibility. We all know how low it is anyways, to begin with.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't go into the negative,
can we? I mean, Jesus.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to do a little mousekeeping on that.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
He's still there, and you were right about that.
So you pat yourself on the back for predicting the game, and then, oh, by the way, Mike, I'm sorry for calling you an idiot.
I didn't call you an idiot. If anything, I called the Bryant coach dishonest. Because I didn't doubt what you saw. I just wondered how long ago that was and if he stuck to it. You know what I mean?
That was probably a year or two, year and a half that I saw that piece on 60 Minutes.
So there you go.
And we could probably also repost that interview on our page. So if people don't want to go looking for that, they can go find it on the Por Favor Podcast YouTube page.
We could, I suppose.
Which is a segue into a video I watched that you did this weekend.
Oh, you want to do that now? I thought maybe you'd save that for after the break, but you can go right into it.
Oh, you want to do it? Yeah, you know what? Let's do it now. All right, let's do it after the break.
All right, well, let me get my unofficial beer sponsor here before we take a break then. Are you ready to take the break? You want me to go to my unofficial beer?
Yeah, let's go to your unofficial beer.
So this one is out of Vermont. It is the Von Trapp Brewing Company. It's a Dunkel Lager. And it says, German for dark, our Dunkel is deep, rich, and smooth with a surprisingly crisp finish. And this Von Trapp Brewing Company...
Is this out of Klinsmann, Germany? It sounds like a Klinsmann, Germany product.
No, well, listen, it's the Trapp the Von Trapp Family Lodge is in Stowe, Vermont. And that name might be familiar to you from The Sound of Music, Bill.
The hills are alive with the sound of music.
So as you may or may not know, the Von Trapp family is a real family that The Sound of Music was about. And after they fled Austria, they ended up in Vermont, and they opened up this lodge, and it's still there, run by members of the family, and they have a brewery out of there, so that's what I'm drinking.
Oh, very, very nice, Bill. You have the little little backstory.
Yeah, you like that?
Very, very well prepared. You get 5.7%. You're always prepared for your unofficial beer sponsors. I will give you that.
I put a lot more effort into that than anything else on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And it shows.
Maybe it's changing with our resolutions, Bill. We're all recommitted and reinvigorated.
Right? We are.
The whole Por Favor Industries is like firing on all cylinders lately.
Well, I think it was that weekend retreat that we really don't want to get into and talk about where we went and who went, but
no,
that really worked out. That team building,
yep,
jumping off the stairs into the arms and all that.
Yeah.
And that was like a last minute. It was like you called a quick 20-second timeout. Said I don't like where things are going right now. Let's all get on the plane and go somewhere for a weekend.
It's hard to look at criticism when you're at the top of your game. Like, when you're better than everyone else, to take a step back and say, we can still do things better, that takes a lot. And we were able to do that.
Yeah, we are. We're able to look in the mirror and say, yep, we're on top, but we want to take it to that next level.
There's always room to grow and improve.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, I mean, people tell us all the time how great we are, how we're the best podcast out there. No one else comes close. And that's... I mean, it's true.
It's true,
I don't doubt that.
I wasn't going to say there's some truth to that. No, it is true.
It's true, but there's still room to improve. And I think the fact that we're willing to do that is part of the reason why we're so good and why we're at the top of the industry.
Well,
it also
shows that we don't have egos. We set the egos outside on the front.
Very
door,
humble and modest.
Yes.
We're both very humble and modest. And
exactly.
That's probably our best quality and maybe why we're so popular.
Yes, I would agree. I would definitely agree.
On that note, by the way, congrats on 150, Bill.
150.
Pretty soon, 6 weeks away from 3 years. That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
It is, 150.
The technological upgrades that have gone on, the studio upgrades, the rebuilds.
The moves. You've been in a new studio each year we've had this podcast.
I have, haven't I?
Yeah.
2014, I was in two studios.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'll probably be in a new one in about 8 months, too, so.
Oh, okay. Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah, we haven't begun construction, but there will be a new studio here, probably.
We're going to have, like, a groundbreak and bring out the big gold scissors and
cut the hard hats. We'll cut the scissors when we open the door.
Yeah.
I doubt the Homeowners Association would allow a big old glittery sign on the front door that says D. Fauntleroy Studios.
I'm sure they wouldn't mind.
Should I get fined right away? Bad enough when you leave the trash cans out overnight.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
No.
All right, take us to break, Bill.
All right, we're going to take a break, Jürgen.
Thank you.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 150 of the Port Floor Podcast. Mr. Klinsman, we kind of touched on our little retreat, our weekend retreat from a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And what we all came up with as a cohesive team is that we want to change things up a little bit on this podcast.
Okay, yeah. That was the consensus. It was tough. We really sat down and hashed it out, and there were some consenting opinions. It wasn't all unanimous, but I think at the end of the day, everyone came to an agreement that some changes needed to be made, and I think it's for the betterment of the show.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that is not going to change as of right now is neither of us are going to be stepping down. As was first reported, we're both going to be staying on the show. That is correct, right, Jurgen?
The contracts have been extended.
Mm-hmm. I know that there were some articles written in the media that said that I was going to be leaving for a better job because I'm not really being compensated, but I want to squash that rumor right away.
Right, you were thinking about going to Mad Dog Russo.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're thinking of Mad Dog Russo, go to satellite radio and do your own show, kind of break up the band here.
Yeah.
No, we came to an agreement. We wrote the check. We kept you here. You had to sign out. You've been editing and bringing more to the table, so you've been compensated properly now.
I wouldn't say I've been bringing more. I've brought something to the table now that I've been doing the editing.
Well, something is more than nothing.
That is true.
Really, I guess it's still accurate.
That is true.
Yeah, so we're going to stay together. We're signed on for another two-year deal, so we should be good through the beginning of 2019 at least.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the contract's up for renegotiation. Yeah. Hopefully there is a labor contract dispute that could go on in the middle of this year so that we could go on strike or get locked out.
Right.
There's still that chance. But as of right now, compensation-wise, everything's been ironed out for the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Very well said.
So that's good.
You had your lawyers write that statement, correct?
Oh, yeah, I read that. That was prepared, gone over with a fine-tooth comb. But what else? You know, we're both going to be there. The other thing that's not going to change is we're both going to continue to have our little non-related conversations at the beginning of every episode.
That was non-negotiable. I know people wanted to take that out or shorten it up, but both you and I both put our feet down and said, if you want us, we have to have that. That's like our weekly cousin-to-cousin 15-minute phone call just to check up on each other.
Exactly. That's the start. That's what people have come to expect and skip over, and that's fine. That's staying in. So that the first segment of our show will not change as of now.
Nor will the last segment.
The last segment is the wrap up. That's fine. That's an easy one to keep.
But then we also kind of follow up on conversations.
That's true.
And I might talk about what I'm watching or who's ahead in the ball game, you know, when I throw in a little of my ADD toward the end.
Mm, that's true. And that's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere.
Even during the middle of the episode, that's still very much available.
That is true.
All right, well, why don't you introduce some of the changes that are going
to
take
place? So the process of elimination is the middle of the episode. We're going to change up a little bit.
The meat, if you will.
The meat of the episode, as you talk about.
So we've been giving out bologna and spam for years and years. Are we upgrading to like roast beef here?
Yeah, we're gonna go to the good stuff. We're gonna go to the Boar's Head oven gold.
Oh,
turkey.
Like the oven gold. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's the stuff you have to have, don't you think, Jurgen?
Yeah. Yep.
Boar's Head oven gold.
No more Oscar Mayer bologna or spam.
No. None of that.
No more SOS.
None of that.
No. Oven gold or nothing from now on.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I was thinking, I said, you know, I'm kind of tired of just doing like the top five this or the top five that.
Yep.
Because we've been doing quite a bit of that. Now, don't get me wrong, I still want to do that, but I want to add a little additional meat into our episodes.
Okay.
Like we had been saying, I live closer. There's no reason that I can't go up and take audio and video and do more research and maybe hit up an attraction, do a video up there. So just a few different changes. And it kind of goes back to our New Year's resolutions. I said, let's incorporate our New Year's resolutions into making changes to the show. And you kind of agreed.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's that?
No, I was going to say, I think you teased a little bit last week what you wanted to talk about here.
Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing, and we're going to make this happen, you agreed with me. I said I wanted to read more books.
Yes.
And I said, let's start the Disney Book Club. And we've been kind of talking about that for about a year. and we didn't really get any traction. But when I whenever I threw that out to social
media...
Hold
on a second. When you say we didn't get any traction, there was actually some positive feedback. We never gave traction.
Correct. I was following up, if you didn't interrupt me.
My apologies.
I said on social media there was some excitement and some people who wanted to do it, but I dropped the ball and I didn't follow through. Are you happy with that now, Bill?
Yes, I'm glad your prepared statement is satisfactory. Mm-hmm.
So we want to start the book club. Susie said she'll definitely do it.
Okay.
You said that you'll do it.
I'll do it. And that's just something that we can add in every couple weeks. We'll do like a 5-minute segment during the meat of the episode. Doesn't have to be the whole episode. We'll just touch base on the book.
Yeah, like we can have Susie on maybe right at the beginning. And what
we'll
I was just thinking
talk about
is
a little bit, yeah.
I'll put together a syllabus.
Okay.
Should we start this on what? Stay Fit. You want to start it on Feb 1?
Sure. Start reading, or have that be the first episode that we talk about it.
Start reading.
Okay, so February we'll start reading. So sometime in February, one of the episodes will bring up the first few chapters we'll talk about of whatever book we happen to pick.
Correct.
That works for me.
Yeah, I figured, you know, we'll do a month. We'll have like a few chapters a month. Because I wanted to do that big Disney book.
Yeah, now you have that already, correct?
I do have that.
You have possession of it?
I do have possession of that book.
Maybe you know this, leafing through it. Like, are the chapter, is it...
It's a big book. It's a Bible. It's probably like 400 pages.
Well, I know, but sometimes books have like 900 chapters in them. Or is this
chapters?
No,
they're all long chapters.
Okay, so this could be like one or two chapters.
Oh, yeah.
Per episode that we talk about it.
That is correct.
Okay, because like, you know, there's some books where there's a page and a half is a chapter.
Yeah, no, it's not that.
Okay.
No, we'll proportionately read the book.
It'll be 50 pages or so, or whatever, 100 pages.
Maybe 100 pages a month, and we'll hammer this thing out like in a few months, and then we'll go on to our next selection.
That works.
That works?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I figured, you know, February we'd read, and then the beginning of March we'd do our wrap-up, kind of talk about what we read. And
that works for me.
That works for you?
Yep, and we'll do whatever, 100 pages or something at that point.
Okay. So I'll tease it. I'll give the book to everybody when we wrap up the show.
Yeah,
where you can get it, and what the name of the book is, and who the author is at the end of the show, if that works for you.
Beautiful. We can put some links out on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yep. All right. Another thing that I want to do, when I said that I wanted to visit property more,
yes,
I also want to do more audio visual.
Beautiful.
And I'm talking about the parks, the resorts, walk-arounds.
Everything. You could do audio from the parks, or you can comment on what you're experiencing while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want either of those things. And if you take video, we can grab the audio off the video and insert it into the podcast and talk about it a little bit. Or if you just take some audio, we'll throw that in there as well.
Yeah, but I want to definitely incorporate the audio into our podcast.
Oh, certainly.
Because I've noticed a lot of the podcasts that I like, especially... You know, I take for granted that most of the people who are listening can't get on property as often as I can.
No.
And I think they when I was up in Minnesota, the podcasts that I love were the ones that had the sounds, the walk-arounds and the sounds, because it felt like when I was walking dogs up in Minnesota, it felt like I was on the ground at Disney.
You're just dying to be immersed in that.
Yes. Yes, and I think people want that, and I have the ability to bring that.
And I also, I'd like to think that the episode I did on my trip may have inspired you a little bit.
Oh, that you did a great job.
That was a fun episode to record.
Are you talking about over at the resort?
No, not the video, the whole episode where I just put together all the audio from the trip.
No, that was good.
So that's something that we can do a little bit. It doesn't have to be the whole episode, but say you're at the Carousel of Progress and you want to take 10 minutes or 5 minutes of audio from the Carousel of Progress, you could pop that in there, or after you get out, talk about it and talk about what's going on while you're walking up to the People Mover or whatever, or just walking around the resort.
Uh-huh.
You can give a little commentary. We'll throw that in, and we'll discuss it and what was going on that day while you were there. And food, of course.
Of course.
So that's good. I like that. So that could be a little segment when you have the opportunity, and throw that in and incorporate that into the episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what other things did you want to do?
Well, we'll talk about food in a bit because you kind of just mentioned that.
Yep.
What was one of the other things that we were going to do? Oh, when I was talking about doing 4 outside the box activities.
Yes.
And we're going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to do 4. And again, audio visual, but then we'll do an episode about it.
Right, of course.
And they're going to be non-Disney cheerleading activities.
Right.
So we'll go miniature golf.
Disney Quest.
We'll definitely have an episode about Disney Quest before that closes down. Miniature golf, maybe regular golfing. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? But I do want to do some outside the box, and I did commit to 4 outside the box activities.
Yep, perfect.
Should we go to the next one, Mr. Klinsman?
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay. Let's bring it back to food, because I know that you have some some stuff that you want to talk about as far as food's concerned.
Yeah, there's only so much I can do to contribute, because you're bringing us like live, on-the-ground action. You're like the war reporter.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the middle. You're in the trenches.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm back in the plush studio. Saying, let's go to Mike out in Baghdad. But what I'm going to do, what I can contribute, is something that I did over this weekend, which we can actually talk about in detail, is the Por Favor cooking class, as I titled it. And basically, as I talked about last week, I wanted to do some Disney recipes. And I decided if I didn't just jump into it with both feet, I would just keep pushing it off. So I did my first one this weekend.
And which was good that you said, because I was surprised at how quickly that thing came up.
Yes.
Because that's what we do. We push off, and then we just kind of out of sight, out of mind it.
That is the issue, I think. Definitely one of the big issues is that we'll just push it to the back burner and then just forget about it. But this, I decided to do the Disney recipe. I did my Le Cellier Canadian Cheddar Beer Soup. I took some pictures. I did a little recording while I was making it, and I edited the video together, put it up on our YouTube page, which you can find right now, youtube.com/Por Favor Podcast. You could check the video out. It's about 7.5 minutes long, so not too much of a time commitment. Gives you all the ingredients, gives you the steps along the way, and you can make it along. You can figure out how to make it at home. I just Googled the recipe, so it wasn't any secret. I didn't determine what it would be and test and go into the lab and figure out how to make it, but I just followed a simple recipe.
Now, you really don't have a cooking lab in the studio, do you?
Oh yeah, we have one. A food lab?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Will you guys test ingredients and stuff?
Yeah. Like I brought home, I didn't tell you about this when we did the food and wine a couple of years ago. I brought home like a small sample of the haggis.
And they reverse engineered it.
Well, we analyzed it to see like the contents. Yeah, that pretty much gave me not a step-by-step how-to, but a list of ingredients.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
The money that you spend is unbelievable to me. That is a nice... I don't have that in my studio.
No, not yet. Maybe in 8 months, though.
Yeah, you never know. But that video was fantastic because you had told me Sunday. You had pointed it out on the YouTube channel. I watched it, and I told my buddy Steve to watch it. He loved it as well.
Oh, good.
But that was good. I was laughing. The intro was great. You show the ingredients and then step by step how to cook it, and
it's not foolish either. Like I took it a little seriously.
It wasn't like our normal podcast. Like it was, well, it was you without me being by your side acting like a buffoon.
Right, but I could be silly as well. I mean, I just was trying to concentrate on not burning the food. Also, and I wanted it to come out good, which it came out pretty good. Like I said in the video, I don't remember, and you've had it more recently at the food and wine. Is it a thicker soup?
It is a little thicker. Yeah, it is a little thicker, but I don't think it's like a real thick chowder,
if you will. Not like a chowder.
Yeah, but I think it is thicker. But again, I mean, the first time you make something, you always have to monkey around.
Well, I wonder, like I had mentioned, I added a little extra beer, so I wonder if that made it a little more liquid.
Susie was watching it. She thought it might have been the flour.
Not enough flour?
That's what she was thinking.
Because I went by what it said, 3/4 or 3 tablespoons. And it didn't seem, she said that it didn't seem like enough to make a roux. It seemed like it just kind of all went away, and it didn't thicken enough.
And the other thing is, like, was it bacon grease? I mean, that could have thinned it out. I don't know if...
Well, but they didn't say to drain it. It didn't really. It didn't. It wasn't a lot of grease at the bottom of the pan when I was making it. And I really wonder, because the recipe called for whole milk, and they must use heavy cream.
Yeah, she had thought that too when you would kind of second guess yourself on that. She thought maybe the heavy cream would have added a little bit of.
But I do have to say the flavor was very good.
It was good, huh? Did you have some leftovers?
Not much. The recipe I made said serve six, but I had a bowl and a half. Sarah had a bowl. Jorgina had a little bit, and there was enough left. There was like a half a bowl left over. So it was probably conservatively three servings, if that's your meal, your full meal.
But what you could do is you could double it, right?
Oh, yeah, easily. That wouldn't be a problem at all. And that's all we had for dinner that night. So if you were having that as a side, or if you had some like garlic bread or maybe a salad or something to go with it, it would have been less would have gone further.
Okay.
Per person. But the flavor was really good. The flavor did remind me of the soup.
Oh, it did, huh?
Yeah. So it came out good. I would definitely try it at home if anyone's interested. Maybe do a couple tweaks, like you said, add maybe some heavy cream and some milk and then the chicken broth and then a little more flour might have been the way to go just to get it a little thicker.
Now let me ask you a couple follow-up questions. Said.
Sure, go right ahead.
How difficult was it?
It was not too difficult.
Was it mainly just preparing all the ingredients? Just all the cutting and all the prep work?
Yeah, the prep was the hardest part because, you know, you cut the onion, that's not too bad. The carrot and the celery, that's pretty easy to cut. The cheese, I didn't buy pre-shredded because I wanted to get Canadian cheddar because I was able to find that at the store.
Yeah, which and I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to find that.
Yeah, it was Boar's Head, though,
yeah,
so you could
it was
probably
Boar's
get
Head,
it.
Yep.
So I shredded it myself, which takes a little time, but it wasn't hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
None of it was hard. It was just a little time-consuming, and then it wasn't that many ingredients either, as you saw.
There was
bacon, carrots, onion, celery, a little bit of flour, milk, chicken broth, beer, cheese, Worcestershire, and Tabasco. That was it. All simple stuff.
And the other question was on like a 1 to 10... Oh, you said on a 1 to 10 difficulty chart, what would you say it was?
Like a 4.
Oh, a 4.
Three or a 4. Not too bad. Like if you don't cook, it might have been a little hard.
Right.
To know when to do things, like when is the bacon ready to add the vegetables, and like how do you know which step to make sure you're ready for the next step?
Yep.
But if you're comfortable cooking, if you cook often, it would be pretty easy.
So when I say the bacon, you might want to have just a little undercooked so that it finishes up when you add the vegetables?
Yeah, that's what it said in the recipe, so I kind of followed along with that.
And then my other question was, how long was it from start to finish? From when you started cutting until it was prepared? And granted, you know, you had to bring it down to a simmer, which takes some time, but it's not actually manual labor, so...
That's a tougher one, because it probably took me about an hour and 10 minutes total.
Yep.
But I took my time preparing, because I was taking pictures of stuff, and video as well, and I wanted to make sure everything looked nice. Like, I normally wouldn't put all my ingredients on a plate in little piles like that. I would just have it all strewn about on a cutting board, and I wouldn't have measured necessarily as closely on some of the stuff. But I would say, because you have to simmer it for 15 minutes... The prep time was probably 20, 25, so I would say easily 40 to an hour to cook it.
Okay.
Just depending on prep. I mean, if you buy the pre-cut onions, carrots, and celery, and you get shredded cheese, you could be done in a half hour. Because basically you take 5 or 10 minutes to cook the bacon, you cook the vegetables for another 5 or 10, and then just let it simmer for 15 minutes, and you add the cheese, and then you're done.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not too bad that way. Good follow-up questions, though. That's the kind of stuff I like to hear.
I told you, it was that retreat that we did, Bill. You have no idea. You have no idea.
So you were really affected. Like, it really hit home with you.
Well, I mean, you saw me when I went in the backyard, and I was just in tears. And I said, you know, the motivational speakers that you brought in.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it affected me. I just want to let you know. It was money well spent. You know, some of the other guys, like, oh, here we go, Shishkoon Bar. BS meeting, but no, I was touched.
Good, I'm glad.
Money well spent.
Good. Well, you got to spend money to make money.
Mm-hmm.
We've always said that on the podcast. The other thing I would like to add here as we're talking about the food is I'm going to try to do one per month, one recipe. And then maybe if there's smaller ones in between I could do. But I'm going to try to do at least one per month. And I think my next one, I've already decided, I might do the Scotch egg from the Rose and Crown Pub. Because I was looking at a recipe for that, and it doesn't look that hard. It looks pretty simple, and I'm thinking I might do it on Super Bowl Sunday as like a little appetizer.
That's nice.
Because that's something, that's not a full meal. So if I do that, I might already have the deep fryer going if I want to make some buffalo wings. So I figure throw together a Scotch egg. It's not that hard. I was looking at the recipe because you just get sausage, like ground sausage meat. You get hard-boiled eggs, and then you just dredge it in flour and breadcrumbs and deep fry it. And there's even a recipe out there for the mustard sauce that comes on it.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to make sure to make that as well. So I think that's going to be the next one, and then we'll go from there and figure out what to do in March.
But, oh, I like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because that thing is a thing of beauty.
And you did a good job. I told you I was very impressed with the video and the overall presentation. So,
oh, thank you.
You did a very good job. Now, as we finish up with talking about food, I'm gonna make sure that I do more of my dining reviews, my Disney dining reviews.
Well, you got a lot of them in the can right now.
I've got
right?
a lot in the can. I'm working on editing them.
We're getting you got a nice intro put together that you did.
Got a nice intro put together. And again, what we'll do is we'll just do a show about that. We'll have the audio. We'll put the video up on YouTube. We'll have the audio, you know, as part of the show, and then we can follow up where you can ask me questions and we can talk about the menu and this
right,
and that.
Exactly.
But we'll make that like an entire show.
Right.
Obviously a Disney dining review.
And now all this being said, I think the next couple of weeks we're gonna have a guest on. So it's not really going to follow any of the stuff that we just said. But that's going to be another thing we're going to try to do, bring more guests into the fold. Because we got away from that for a while. Your studio hasn't had the technological upgrades yet.
Right.
We're just finishing those up, so we should be able to get a guest in the studio.
Well, we just installed our last satellite. So now we're able to beam to anywhere in the world. So
yeah,
it was that last satellite that we had been waiting on.
Right, exactly. Got that up there. And it's... So we should be ready to go. So we'll be doing some nice guest shows here and there as well. So that's another thing we'll add back into the fold.
And like I
said, people seem to like that.
Oh, they love having it. They love guests like being on and people like listening to trip reviews and other guests being on.
Yes. So anything else that you want to add here, Mr. Klinsman?
No, I wasn't sure. I think what I was, as far as the dining reviews, I definitely want to do, we're going to do at least one signature a year.
Oh, okay.
And we'll do a few of the sit-downs, but I really want to start hitting some of the quick serves.
Because they don't have to be long. Like, we get into this habit, at least I do, when I do something, like if I have some video footage and it's like a minute and a half or 2 minutes, I'm like, it's not long enough. It's not worth posting. But people still watch it. It doesn't have to be a 6, 7, 8 minute video to be good, you know? Because if you get into it, I mean, you don't... If you're sitting down at Everything Pop, you don't have to go around and do the ambiance of the place. You could just talk about the food and what you ordered and how you liked it.
All the different stations. Because I remember when I was, you know, I relied a lot on YouTube before I immersed myself by moving down here. But when we were doing our 2014 vacation, I knew nothing about Pop. And, you know, you can get the Burnborn book where it talks about the theming and, you know, this... But, you know, I was doing YouTubes on Everything Pop, and some of the best YouTubes were when they went to each station and showed you what options you had.
Right. Well, that's a little different. I mean, that's more of like an overview, which we can also do. Mm-hmm. But if you're just reviewing what you eat, you don't need necessarily to go around the whole place and get ambiance in, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad thing to add in there as well. So, and that is nice to put that up periodically, especially at the quick serves, because they do change from time to
time. They do change from time to time.
I think we covered a lot here, Mr. Klinsman.
Yeah, we've covered quite a bit. I have one more thing to add, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep jumping the gun.
No, not as far as food. I'm talking about the last thing I want to add.
Okay.
I said I wanted to drink more.
Yes, I remember that.
So we talked a year ago about doing Saucy Susie cocktail review.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is I wanted to have her maybe do a signature drink. And me review a Bloody Mary.
Okay, so not necessarily every time you go up, but if you go to a new place that has a Bloody Mary on the menu, you're going to check it out.
Yeah, because that's typically what I've been doing. Me and your dad will typically get a Bloody Mary. Like, I'm a Bud Light guy, and that's about all I drink when it comes to alcohol. But I do like a good Bloody Mary, and it's been funny because ever since I've started having Bloody Marys, every time I go to a different bar, I want to try their Bloody Mary.
I'm telling you, do the Rainforest at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
That thing was fantastic. That was so good, that Bloody Mary there.
I'll try that next time we go to Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, just hop right in. Like, you can get it before you even go in or whatever. If you're there early, have it for breakfast. Because you like the breakfast of that.
I love the breakfast, yeah.
Because that'd be a good Saucy Susie. Have Susie review, like, a breakfast drink, like a mimosa or something, and you can have a Bloody Mary and have some eggs and toast.
Well, this is where I'm going. We're gonna call it the Por Favor Pub Crawl.
Oh, beautiful.
And what we're going to do is we're going to review the entire pub.
Nice.
So she's like going to... So say we're going to go to Meisner's. I'm going to have their Bloody Mary. She's going to have this, whatever their signature cocktail is. So I would assume at Meisner's it's probably a martini.
Or an old-fashioned, something like that. Yeah.
So she agreed to review whatever their signature cocktail is.
Yeah, I'm sure within reason. If it's something she hates, then pick something
else. But I'm sure they have more than one signature cocktail.
That's true, yeah. Most places have several. That's
and then we're probably going to try a couple apps. And we're just going to do a complete review of the pub.
And I'm assuming you'll do some video and audio recording as well.
Well, all of that.
And then we'll talk about it on the show.
But I mean, a couple weeks ago when we were having dinner at Captain's Grill, we walked by both their bars, and I'm like, these are the types of places I like to hang out at. Because
I'd love to get a review of that Martha's Vineyard place, because remember we looked at that little pub menu they have?
And
it looks like some really good stuff.
It was.
And that Territory Lounge that you go to, I mean, you had some great food there.
Territory Lounge, I love. Yeah. And then the one that's right next to Captain's Grill in the Yacht Club lobby, when we were waiting... We didn't have to wait long because we had a reservation, but we were just standing there for a couple minutes, and I was looking in their lounge. There was nobody there, and it was right before New Year's, so they had one of the New Year's bowl games on.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, if I weren't going to Epcot for the processional, I wouldn't have minded just sitting here and watching a football game.
Just hanging out for
Nerdy I am. I'd be willing to drive up there, have a Bloody Mary, and watch a college football game.
That is kind of nerdy.
Yeah, it's really bad because you could go to a bar right around here, but it's just being on property and it just adds
it
that special
nice.
Element, you know?
Now, I have to ask you a question. I don't know if you saw what I posted on Facebook because you had made a nice comment about the national championship game. This is bringing it all full circle here, by the way. We started off talking about the national championship game. Now you're talking about bars at Disney. A question I have.
That was valid question.
You remember?
Yes.
World Series Game 7, the everything popped, the Petals pool bar. Right at midnight, they closed that gate, turned off the TVs, and people were just sitting there like twiddling their thumbs.
And I got to tell you, that was an absolutely horrible experience. Like, I understand last call is at a certain time, but that place used to be driven, obsessed by customer service.
Right, I'm really surprised they did that.
And I'm not exaggerating, there had to be 50 people sitting there.
30 to 50, I would think, at that point, yeah.
Watching this baseball game.
That were there for the whole game,
Bar sales were through the roof because that place is never busy.
No.
Especially that time of night. There's a couple people coming back from the parks who might have a beer. But that place, people had, you know, lounge chairs.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was an event. People were, like, high-fiving and everything. It was fun.
It was fun. It was a great atmosphere. I had so much fun with Por Favor Mike, you and your dad. It was great.
Right.
But anyways, finish up the story at midnight.
But now the national championship game, which, I mean, the World Series is one thing. People take that seriously. But you're in Florida. People in Florida in the South, which I'm not sure if you realize that Clemson and Alabama are both schools from the South. Their college football seriously down there.
Or are you asking that just in general?
That's a little like a rhetorical.
Thought you were asking me if I knew that they were in the South.
it's a serious business down there, isn't it?
Oh, my God. College football is just huge. I was walking Fenway the other day, and there were a bunch of kids out in the street just throwing the football around. I'm like, you never see that.
No. But can you imagine a bunch of Bama fans that have had 6 or 7 Bud Lights and Clemson fans on the other side of the bar at Pop Century, you know, having their beers, And then all of a sudden at midnight, it's a 3-point game, 4 minutes left in the game. They just shut the TVs off and close the bar down.
And there was no messing around. That thing, those windows went down.
It was like 12 o'clock in like 6 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to say 13 seconds.
Like they pressed a little button like a garage door closing.
Yeah, it was. It was like a garage door. Yeah, it was like those security windows.
Yes.
Yeah, those metal. Done. Yeah, those doors just came right down. We're just staring at each other. Like they didn't just do what they did they?
Yeah, it was almost it was comical.
It was almost like they were busting our chops. Like I thought they were going to say only kidding and reopen them.
Right,
but then when you saw them all locking the doors and walking out,
yeah,
I said, "Oh, wait.
This is happening.
This is really happening."
Now it's easy to sit back and laugh at it now. But if that were 2004, and you and I are sitting there watching a Red Sox game, and they did that, Red Sox Yankees Game 7 ALCS,
letters
at midnight,
would have been written.
We would have broke through the damn door.
Yeah, because you're at the point by the time you get back up to your room, it's over.
Right, exactly. The lock can go on in 15-minute walk back to your room.
Mm-hmm.
That was ridiculous. And if they did that during the national championship game, which I haven't heard, so I don't know, they may have made previous arrangements knowing that the game was going on to stay open till 1 or 2 that night. So I don't know, but I couldn't believe they closed that thing at midnight. And if they did that again on the national championship, there must have been riots.
Well, the thing is, too, is that they have to close. Like, I've been at bars where we've been watching games and they've closed. And they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, you guys can stick around. It's just, you know, last call was 20 minutes ago, but you could, you know, lights go on. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine.
But if they have 45 minutes that they have to close down, count the cash, you know, close out the drawers, all that stuff. You couldn't have left the doors open and let us watch the basket, you know.
Right. I totally understand if they had to stop serving. But right. They didn't have to close the garage doors and turn the TVs off.
No.
At that point.
No.
Anyway, that's just, I didn't know if you saw that comment I put
on
Facebook.
I saw that. I never responded to it. Yeah, that was so true, though. I like that.
I don't think we ever brought that up on the show about how that happened during the World Series and how ridiculous that was.
That was very poor.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to totally take it off topic.
That's okay.
Here, I think we were pretty much wrapping up at any point.
Or as they say in Minnesota, anywho.
Anywho. Yeah, you want to take us to our second break?
Yeah, let's take our second break.
Celebration with your host Danny Kaye and guests Drew Barrymore, Roy Clark, Alex Haley, Marie Osmond, Eric Severide, Alan Shepard, Dreamfinder and Figment, Zico and Smart One, the West Point Flea Club, and the All-American College Marching Band.
Introducing the camera.
Come on to Daddy.
So easy to use.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 150 of the Por Favor podcast, and we just talked about some of the changes that we want to make to our show. Mr. Klinsman, did you like all of them? Any of them that you want to take out, or what's your feelings?
Well, no, we spent, you know, $65,000 on this weekend retreat, and now you're asking me, you know, 52 minutes into this episode if I want to change my mind?
That's true.
This is an investment. We're going forward with this, come hell or high water.
Okay.
Oh, it sounds good. I think it'll be good. There's things, and it's not going to be every, like...
No, we're still going to do our top five, but we're just going to make sure that we incorporate more of this into our show.
Right. And I think we'll be able to. And like you said, you have a cache of backlogged videos and things, so we can get that kind of stuff going even right away. And you have Fridays, Saturdays off, so you can be up on property a little more than you were the last couple of years when you only had one day off a week.
Correct.
It makes a difference. And like you were even saying a couple weeks ago, if you want to go up on a Friday, you walk Fenway, take off mid-morning, you can be home by dinner time.
Yeah.
And still do some good intel on the ground at property.
Yep.
So that'll be fun to see as well.
Yep.
But, yeah, incorporating some of the live audio and just discussing it a little bit, I think will be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Bringing more guests in, doing the YouTube stuff. I mean, that's not direct to content of the podcast, but it will help overall with everything.
Yeah, the YouTube channel, if you haven't checked that out, it's good. We have some funny videos. We have some good content out there. Yeah, we do need to add more, but there's some really good content out there.
Yep, definitely. And I have some stuff, too, from when I was down that is still just sitting on the computer that I need to upload as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think I ever uploaded our haggis try.
No, I don't think you did, no.
So we'll have to get that up there as well. But anyway, yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Things should be good. 150 episodes in, we're finally making some idea of what we're going to do with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. The next 150 should be smooth and flawless.
Yeah, unless we have to strike over the summer, but we're not going to look that far into the future, are
we?
Yeah,
hopefully that doesn't happen. Would you like to give our social media information?
Can find us on Facebook at Por Favor Podcast, on Twitter. Now that Mr. Klinsman, I don't know if you've noticed, he's been on fire. He's been using social media, both Facebook but mainly Twitter. You can find him, Por Favor Podcast, on Twitter. You can find me at Por Favor Mike. You can email the show info@PorFavorPodcast. We're still looking for any show ideas you might have. You can email me, Mike@PorFavorPodcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Website address, www.PorFavorPodcast.com. Mr. Klinsman.
Yes, you can email me, Gary@PorFavorPodcast.com. And like you said, I'll be tweeting more from @PorFavorPodcast Twitter account. And check out the YouTube, which I think you said, but still, youtube.com/PorFavorPodcast. I have that new cooking video up, and look out for some dining reviews very soon up there as well.
And my YouTube channel is Por Favor Mike, and I have a lot of Disney content, but then I also add some, like if I go to a college football game or basketball game, so there will be more personal stuff on that page. The other thing I wanted to add, Jürgen, is we've both been using that Por Favor Podcast Twitter handle.
Yes.
So maybe if we tweet, you could do a G at the end and I could do an M at the end. Just
that
to
works.
Show what people... So if I'm up at property and I want to tweet from that... Because you mainly use that page and I use Por Favor Mike. But if I'm up at property, maybe I'll just throw an M right at the end so people know it's from Mike.
Or if you like tweet on a Saturday morning, this is mud.
Yeah. I think I said I was mudding.
Yeah,
I
think that's what it was.
And then I have to throw an M at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
So that they know it's not Por Favor Gary.
Yeah, that would help.
Did you see that?
I did.
And were you just shaking your head?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I like how you replied from the Por Favor Mike account to kind of straighten it all out.
I did try to smooth it out, but I saw that and I'm like, oh, I just did that from the Por Favor podcast. People are going to think it's Jürgen that's mudding.
Yeah.
Boy, ADD. Look at Minnesota. They're getting smoked. They're in the top 24 in Michigan State's ups. They actually won 65-47. That's a bad showing by the Gophers.
Rick Pitino Jr. can't be too happy with that.
Dick Jr.
All right, bring us home, Bill.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 150 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. For Gary up in sunny westerly Rhode Island, I'm Mike down in southwest Florida. We'll talk to you next week.